This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I'm on Judiciary Committee. Pam Bondi will come out of the committee with all Republicans and I think some Democrats, because she's an incredibly qualified person, very ethical, former Attorney General of Florida. No better pick for Attorney General. Cash Patel, counterterrorism prosecutor, understands the government. And if the FBI doesn't need to be cleaned out, what does? So, yeah, he'll make it out of committee. I don't know if he'll get any Democrats, but I think he'll get all Republicans. I'm a big fan of his choice to be FBI director. I've known Pete for a long time. I served with him in Afghanistan. The people over there said nothing but great things about him. The allegations against Pete are all anonymous sources. I am not going to make any decision based on an anonymous source. If you're not willing to raise your hand under oath and make the accusation, it doesn't count.
So that's Senator Lindsey Graham listing off some of Trump's cabinet picks. But I've also seen quite a few reports saying that he hasn't fully committed to supporting Pete Hegseth yet. For defense secretary, he has mentioned his support for Cash Patel and Pam Bondi, of course. What is the deal behind these people who are pushing back against Pete Hegseth so much? Well, let's ask our friend Droy Murdoch on a Thursday. Great to have you back, Droy, nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure, Annie. Good to be with you again.
What do you make of all of these discussions surrounding Pete Hegseth? It's almost kind of, I kind of understood the Matt Gaetz division over how people felt about him, but I don't really understand what people are so scared of with Pete Hegseth for defense secretary.
Well, you know, I've always said the biggest problem on among so many GOP leaders is just fear. They're just scared, and they're not scared of anything in particular. They're just generally, they wake up in the morning, and first shadow they see, they jump in the opposite direction. And I think these guys, not all of them, but some of them, and you only need to lose, I guess you can lose three Republicans. After that, you're in trouble. And if all the Democrats stay together, these dummies are not going to get approved. But they're just scared that something about Pete Hegseth and others will cause problems. They wake up, they're scared of, you know, gee, is this tax cut too big? And, do we want to be too tough on the illegal aliens, whatever it might be? And they need to understand Trump won comfortably. He has a solid mandate. The GOP won the White House, the Senate, and the House. They have a mandate to lead. They should stop being cowardly and put in the people who are going to go in. And, some people think, well, he might turn the Pentagon upside down. Cash Patel might turn the FBI upside down. Pam Bondi might turn the Department of Justice upside down. Guess what? They need to be turned upside down. A lot of these bureaucracies are, at best, well-intended but bumbling and inefficient. At worst, you have a lot of political people in there who feel that even though their job is to serve the American taxpayers and follow the lead of whoever the president is and implement that president's policies, their view is, no, I'm going to go to the office today and do what I want and push my agenda, which tends to be a big government left of center agenda. And if you have a big government left of center president who wants that, that's one thing. But if you have a conservative, limited government, pro-free enterprise president, and that's what he's pushing, your job is either to row in the same direction. Or if you don't like it, resign and go do something else with your life. You know, go become a law professor, or, you know, go teach or go practice tax law at a law firm or something like this. But folks who are resisting on Capitol Hill, the senators, they need to get with the program. And I think so much of the stuff that's been raised about Pete Hegseth, either it's, you know, he said, she said, sexual misconduct allegations, none of which added up to any police charges or prosecution charges, indictments, what have you. As for the story that came out yesterday, in the NBC News put out this story saying that people at Fox News, or 10 people, current and former Fox News personnel, were saying that Pete was drunk on the set, and he barely get through his performances, and smelled like alcohol, and on and on. Every single one of those accusations, all 10 of them, anonymous.
Yeah.
No names attached. Who knows if these people exist? They could be totally invented by the authors who wrote this story, or they might think, well, my name is not attached, so let me exaggerate or create something from scratch or take some small thing and blow it out of proportion. So I like the Lindsey Graham standard. If there's not a name attached to an accusation, it doesn't count. I really like that. That ought to be a new standard, because the left is pushing all these, you know, it happened with Kavanaugh, it happened with Hegseth, it's happened with so many others. They just have these stories about anonymous sources. You know, anonymous sources saying, oh, Donald J. Trump said he didn't want to go to that World War One cemetery in Paris when he was outside Paris when he was president, because those people were suckers and losers. People were buried there, and he didn't want to get his hair wet in the rain. All those are anonymous sources. Four anonymous sources came out and said that. I was able to put together in several pieces after that horrible story by Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic. I believe it was 16 people who said on the record they were in Paris. That wasn't true. That was a pack of lies. So I think we should stop listening to anonymous sources and listen to actual sources, where people stick their heads up, put their names out, and have to, stand by their word and pay the consequences if they don't.
Yeah, amen to that. Deroy Murdoch speaking with us right now. I looked it up. Lloyd Austin, the current defense secretary for Joe Biden, he was approved. He only had two people who voted against him. One of them was our Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, and the other one was Mike Lee. All of these other Republicans right now who are in the mix to approve the people who Donald Trump says he wants in his cabinet in order to affect the changes that the American people agreed with him and sent him into the Oval Office once again. What do you make of any of this posturing by the senators right now, who are, it just almost feels a little too much, I want my moment in the spotlight because I'm the one who gets to say yes, and I'm going to drag this out a little bit. It's very annoying to me.
Well, it is annoying. If they want their moments in the spotlight, they should stand up, especially in the middle of right now. I mean, controversies directed against Pete Hegseth. You know, if you want to look courageous, you know, stand up with him and hold a press conference and go into the Senate gallery and say, you know, I, Senator Smith or Jones, stand with Pete Hegseth and stand up next to him and say, you'll make a great defense secretary. We'll go about undoing the damage that Lloyd Austin has done as Secretary of Defense. You know, people say, well, does Pete have the ability to run this big bureaucracy? You look at a guy like Lloyd Austin. Lots of experience. He's got, you know, as a general, he's been there for decades. And yet this is the same administration that brought us the disaster in Afghanistan, the endless hunt for white nationalists in the ranks. This is the most integrated institution in America. And the first thing that they did is, oh, well, we got to have a stand down. They literally told every unit, you know, stand down and spend time thinking about DEI and critical race theory. And, you know, white people feel guilty about what you did, and black people feel like victims of slavery, and on and on and on. And then Austin had a surgery. He disappeared for, I don't know, a week, 10 days, didn't tell the President of the United States, didn't tell the White House Chief of Staff, didn't tell the National Security Advisor. And look, you have to get surgery. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you don't want to make it public because you're, you know, embarrassed about prostate cancer or whatever it is, you don't have to give a press conference. But you absolutely need to tell the President of the United States, the National Security Advisor, I'm going under the knife. I need to take some time off. Please deal with my deputies. If it's really crazy, contact me. If not, I'm going to take a week off and try to get better. And
yes.
The response is, great, get better, wonderful. You know, we look forward to seeing you when you're better. That's A-OK. What you don't do is just disappear, go AWOL, the guy running the Pentagon, and nobody knows where he is for 3, 4, 5 days. I think Pete Hegseth can do better than that. I think if he can do better than Lloyd Austin has done, that will be a great success as Secretary of Defense. And I'm looking forward to great service from him as running the Pentagon.
Well, I encourage listeners right now to check out your article on the Spectator, because you've really outlined all of the people who have come with their name attached to it that have worked with Pete Hegseth and would know him as an individual. A lot of people are likening this to the Kavanaugh treatment, and they've really honed in on Pete Hegseth of all of the nominations. And you have very nicely put all of these people who are defending him publicly with their name attached, like I said, into one place for people to understand that there are a lot of character witnesses out there that don't mind being personally attached to supporting him. And hopefully we'll see Donald Trump get his cabinet and get this done pretty quickly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. The piece is on the Spectator website right now, and I quote 15, the anonymous sources in the NBC story, 10 of them, none of them with names attached. I have 15 people here with their names attached who say they've worked with Pete Hegseth over the years. They've never seen him intoxicated, never smelled alcohol in his breath, none of the behavior that's alleged in the NBC News story. None of them have seen anything like this. The two most compelling witnesses, I think, are his co-hosts on Fox and Friends Weekend, Will Kane. And he said the following, I said, put my name on it, on the record. It'll be your only record source. You know, Pete Hegseth, he's worked with him all these years. I said, sign the guy who sat next to him for eight hours every week for 5 years, starting at 6 a.m. And he referred to the NBC News story as, shall we say, horse waste. That's, I guess, what the point put it.
Yeah, he did.
On the air. Rachel Campos Duffy, who's the other co-host with Hegseth at Fox and Friends Weekend, says here, the losers at NBC News never reached out to me either. Will Kane is right. You now have two people who sat next to him eight-plus hours a week on the record. Will you retract or correct your story? And I think it's very significant that they worked with him every weekend. Sometimes he'll also fill in during the week sometimes, at 6 in the morning. Now, if you're out on a bender, you know, you might be able to get your act together for a 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. broadcast. If you're on at 6 in the morning, you know, you're very likely going to smell like booze and be kind of stumbly and not in very good shape and, you know, clutching onto your stomach and, you know, drinking down Alka-Seltzer. So if he, in fact, went on these benders that are alleged in this story, people who were working with him on the air at 6 in the morning are going to notice. And for 8 years, these people worked, you know, literally sitting right next to him. They say they saw no such thing. So that story and from NBC News, I started my journalism career on my junior high school paper, ninth grade. And we were told, you know, you need to have sources with names on them, especially if you're alleging people of, you know, crimes or misbehavior or whatever. And that NBC News story did not reach the level of what was expected of me as a journalist on a junior high school paper.
Yeah, maybe we need to get people back to that line of thinking. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, and you can check his piece out in The Spectator. Go to spectator.org to see DeRoy's piece on Pete Hegseth. Atlantic, you mentioned The Atlantic, and gosh, it's like all you have to say is there was a piece in the fill in the blank, and then everybody knows at this point where we're headed with whatever the subject matter is. Did Donald Trump's victory have a measurable effect on how these types of media outlets, this version of journalism, how successful it's going to be in the next coming years?
I don't sense much of that introspection, if you will, on the part of the of media. I do see some Democrats saying, look, we pushed it too far. We've got to dial this back. There's a gentleman whose name I can't think of his name right now, I'm afraid, but he's a former New York State senator who's running for DNC chief, and I saw an interview with him, and he was saying, look, we need to move more to the center. You know, we've been pushing extremist stuff. You know, people don't want to hear how they're going to pay their grocery bills. They don't want to hear about, you know, why their 10-year-old boy's penis needs to be removed and he needs to go from being, you know, Jack to Janet. They're not interested in that. So that gives me a sense that elected officials in the Democrat Party, to some degree, are thinking about this sort of thing. I've not seen anything from anybody in the media on the left other than, you know, he's still Hitler and we got to stop him and he's out of control and he has no right to do this. What election? You know, I've not seen any, I can't think of anybody in the media who's dialed things back.
Yeah.
Some of the politicians a little bit, none of the journalists I've been able to tech that's still, you know, full speed ahead, tear Trump down no matter what.
Sure looks like the consumers of that media have decided to opt out, at least maybe for the holiday season. Maybe they'll come back come mid-January next year when things really start to fire up. But it looks to me like the American people are like, well, enough of that, because they felt lied to for quite some time. But we shall
enough
see.
Already, yeah.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Good journalism by you and The Spectator. We appreciate you as always. And look forward to having you back next week.
All right, Annie, likewise. We'll talk to you soon. Thank
you. Take care. Bye-bye, DeRoy. DeRoy Murdoch is a nationally syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor as well. Are we ready with this? I want to go to this. This is a news alert, and, you know, I've been seeing some of the comments come in on the YouTube chat that alerted that this was happening. Fox News just covered it, but there's been a pretty significant earthquake off the coast of California. There's a tsunami warning. Let's listen into Fox News and their report.
Coast of California, 7.0 magnitude at 10:44 local time, prompting a tsunami warning for coastal areas. At least 5 million people are under the tsunami warning. We know that California Governor Gavin Newsom has been briefed on the earthquakes off the coast of Northern California and the resulting tsunami warning. Obviously, grave concern about this when you consider the west coast of the United States is a highly populated area, Sandra. And I'm reminded that 20 years ago this month, the day after Christmas, of course, with the tsunami that rocked Thailand. And so officials on the west coast taking it very seriously.
Yeah. So that's the report from Fox News Weather. Earthquake, tsunami warning. We'll keep an eye on that and see if something materializes here, at least until 3 o'clock, and we hand it over to the Mark Reardon Show. We'll have a quick break. Ryan Wiggins will join Brad and myself back in studio here in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Let's discuss this question upon Ryan's return, and we'll throw in some of your comments as well from the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. The poll today is, will Joe Biden pardon himself? And Kurt starts us off and says, yes, he is totally evil and corrupt, second only to Soros and company. Joe says, why stop now? Any legacy you had is long gone. Don't die in jail. This is like a courtesy thought there. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show and the poll discussion when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com.